hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be
going home. Good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another evening. Eben, I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And it's always a privilege to come your way. Greetings to our listeners, wherever they are. You know, last week I started talking about the need to pray, and it's so important because the times we are in really calls for prayer, and the Lord is not, you know, he always talks to his children, giving warnings to pray and all that. So the need to pray is very, very important. More so as a nation, believers have a role to play, you know, as Christians. I remember one man said some time back, and I believe and I agree with him, that the state of every nation can be blamed on the believers. The state of every nation can be blamed on the believers. And it's a fact, because if the believers rise up and pray, they have an impact. You know, one thing we shouldn't, or one mistake we shouldn't make as believers, is to think that the world we see as it is, like the country Ghana as we see it as it is just Ghana. I mean, physical Ghana infrastructure, Accra City, Kumasi City, and all that, roads, building, ministries, this. No, every city, every nation, every city, there are spiritual forces at play. Angels are assigned to nations. Angels are assigned to cities. And likewise, the devil also has his agents and all. So the spiritual state is what overrides and rules, and we get to the physical state, the things that happen physically. There's a control behind. It's like you are seeing something, but there's a control room where things are controlled. And that is the spiritual state. And that's how the world is. So the spirit realm has a direct impact on the physical realm. So as believers, it will be very erroneous on our part to downplay the importance of prayer for the nation. It's a big, big, big mistake to assume we don't need to pray for the nation. And that's why we are talking about this all important thing. But first, I'll be getting into a few news items for the night. Then we'll delve into this very important topic. So let's get going. The first news item is this week there was a powerful earthquake in Japan, but then it didn't end there. The scientists are warning that there is a pending because they looked at the various analysis and all that, and they are concluding that it's likely there's going to be a bigger one. This one was 7.1 on the Richter scale, but they are warning that there could be a big one coming. But well, it's just a caution that you are giving. Okay, then we have Rwanda shuts down thousands of churches after failed inspections. So Rwanda closed more than 5,600 churches in July 2024 after nearly a third of the inspected places of worship failed to meet legal standards. The Rwanda Governance Board, RGB, said that 13,000 religious institutions were inspected in collaboration with the local authorities. RGB Chief Executive Dr. Usta Kaitesi told Kigali-based news site IGIHE which reported an even higher number of 7,700 churches closed, that the board, in collaboration with local authorities, carried out an inspection over 2 weeks in July. She revealed that a large number of churches affected did not have the requisite permits to operate places of worship, whilst others could not provide qualifications for the leaders. Kaitesi said that faith-based organizations were given ample time to comply with the regulations. She added that a significant number of the affected churches had minor infractions which could be rectified and their permits reinstated. A majority of places of worship impacted by the ongoing crackdown were Pentecostal churches. Rwanda has progressively been implementing a law it passed in 2018 to regulate religious organizations. 700 churches were closed then for operating illegally. The law requires religious leaders to have theological training before operating a church and mandates the LGB to inspect the physical safety of the buildings housing the churches. It also requires that the structures be soundproof as one way of limiting noise pollution. In a statement, LGB said that the inspection focuses on verifying that religious organizations have registration documents issued by the board. The churches also need to show letters of collaboration with the district authorities. Relevant authorities will continue to collaborate with religious leaders to promote transformational development whilst adhering to the laws and regulations governing faith-based organizations and ensuring that prayer houses and buildings meet legal standards. And that is in Rwanda. You know, but this issue of Rwanda, you know, when you fail to self-regulate, the system or the government may be forced to regulate you. And that's what happened in Rwanda, where the church failed to self-regulate. So eventually the government just got, offended to the point where, you know, the complaints from the populace and all that, eventually government stepped in. You see, that's one of the worries I have in Ghana sometimes, where the church sometimes is like, get involved in things that people, there have been instances we've read in the news where people took the churches to court for noise pollution. And sometimes the people are justified, because a church is in a community, people are asleep, and the noise levels, and you see the people praying in the church, only five, very few people, less than 10 people, and yet the speakers are at the highest level. So for what? You know, so you see, when we do things to the point where we fail to apply wisdom and regulate ourselves to do what is right, knowing that you are in a community, so you have to do things to, your neighbors, you have to factor that you have neighbors around you as an institution, so you shouldn't be offending them before, not like very excessive noises and all that. So people do these things, and then when people are taken to court, and the law takes its course, then in one case in Accra, one man I was told, my wife was telling me about, this man took the case to court. So he won, because the noise levels were just so, EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, they have a machine, noise pollution level, the decibels and all, so they tested and it was excessive, so they sued the church, like fined the church. And then now, after their next prayer meetings, they are praying and binding the man that is a witch or is a wizard or whatever. You see, there are some prayers. So, see, this is the problem, where when you abuse your freedom, eventually you can end up like what is happening in Rwanda. The church abused the freedom they had all the years, and then now government had to regulate them. So self-regulation is very important. Look at the landscape in Ghana. You put on the TV and you see all sorts of people who parade themselves as their men of God. And sometimes you just see these things. And you see, when the government decides to regulate, it's because of some of the things that we are seeing all over the place. And so, it makes it, if we self-censor ourselves, self-regulate and all that, the government, virtually everybody is at peace with each other. And it's one of the things which I really wish we should be careful about regulating how the excesses, all sorts of characters, I mean, doing things in the name of God and the abuses and all. I mean, you look at some of the things on TV and you look at it and it's like, where is God in this? There's no God in this whole thing. It's just somebody who is just doing something for money, just so obvious. So when one day a government says that churches should regularize their operations with the government or something, then we'll be screaming that we are under persecution. But some of these things is not persecution. We fail to regulate ourselves. All right, then we have Muslim mob tries to kill Christian mother accused of blasphemy, who could face life in prison. So a Muslim mob in Pakistan on Wednesday, you know, Pakistan has one of a very high percentage of, I mean, Islamic population there. So on Wednesday, attacked and tried to kill a Christian mother accused of blasphemy, according to sources. The mob in Kathori village in Gojra, in the Faisalabad district in the Punjab province, tried to kill Saima Masi, 32-year-old mother of two children, after Muhammad Haider accused her of hurting Islamic religious sentiments by desecrating pages of the Quran, said attorney Kami Bhatti, chairman of the Minorities Alliance Pakistan. That's a legal affair, for advocacy. And then the mob would have lynched Saima if the police had not reached there on time and rescued her. But he told the Christian Daily International Morning Star News. It says that the mob also reportedly attacked some other Christian residents in the village, forcing them to flee their homes and hide in the fields to save their lives. The attorney and political leader said he and his team tried to reach the village as soon as they received information about the incident. There are 30 to 35 Christian families in the village. When news of the alleged desecration spread, a crowd of nearly 250 to 300 Muslims blocked the main highway in protest, refusing to let anyone pass. Then we contacted our sources in the village and they informed us that the Muslims had beaten up some Christians, raising fears of violence against the community, he said. Interesting. Then Indonesia. We have Indonesian authorities foil students' plot to use, quote, mother of Satan explosives to bomb churches. Hey, mother of Satan. So Indonesian authorities foil students' plot to use mother of Satan explosives to bomb churches. So authorities in Indonesia arrested a 19-year-old member of an Islamic extremist group and his parents, foiling a plan to suicide bomb two church sites, according to officials. The high school student, identified only by his initials, HOK, was arrested on 31st July at about 7:15 p.m. local time as he was on his way to dispose of evidence in Jailan Labsek village. And then in East Java, he said that it goes on to the anti-terror special detachment 88 spokesperson Aswin Sriga at a press conference in Jakarta, on Sunday, gave the report. The special detachment 88 squad and Batu police were involved in the arrest. HOK is a supporter of ISIS or Daula Islamia, Aswin told reporters last Thursday in Jakarta. Aswin said HOK had become an online member of Philippines-based Dawlia Islamia and said to be affiliated with the ISIS, the Islamic State. Then that he and his accomplices were planning to carry out suicide bombings using traceton trapezoide, that's TATP explosives, at two Christian churches in Malang Regency, East Java. TATP, widely known as the Mother of Satan, is one of the most powerful and dangerous explosives. Primarily, then goes on to say that it's in the case that HOK often assess various websites containing Dawlia Islamiyah propaganda that led him to try to carry out suicide bombings, according to Aswin. He assessed various sites containing recommendations or propaganda for Dawlia Islamiyah. And then Aswin reported said, then he also got information from social media so that he felt like carrying out suicide bombing. The suspects bought explosives and other necessary tools for the attack with savings from school allowances, according to TribuneJakarta.com. HOK's parents were also arrested that Wednesday and police detained several others for questioning. And goes on to say that eventually the parents were arrested on a train when they were moving. Mother of Satan. Hey, interesting name. So the church is under attack. Oh, the church is under attack in various countries. The church is under attack. But, you know, because in Ghana we have our freedoms now, we think all is well. The truth is one. All is not well. 19-year-old girl tied up, beaten and burned with flat iron for converting to Christianity. So in Eastern Uganda, Christians are really suffering from Islamic persecution because a Muslim in Eastern Uganda burned his 19-year-old daughter with a flat iron on July 21st after learning that she had converted to Christianity, according to sources. Nasiki Maliyati said she attended evangelistic crusade with a friend in the course of a visit to her grandmother in Luagoli, that's in the Mbale district, on July 15th. When they called people to give their lives to Christ, I also went and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maliyati said, when I went back home, I told my sister that I had left Islam. She went and told her dad of my conversion to Christianity. The following Sunday, Maliyati, a student at Noor Islamic Institute in Mbale, attended a church service and upon returning home found her father, 44-year-old Abdurrahman Kutosi, and uncles angry with her. She said, they tied me up, beat me, and finally my dad picked up a hot flat iron and hot water and burned me and shouted loudly that I was an embarrassment to the family. Maliyati told Morning Star News, I was burned up for leaving Islam and converting to Christianity. As my father furiously continued shouting that I had shamed the family, he continued saying that even Allah is annoyed with me as the pain continued inside my body. She heard him order her to stop attending church services before relatives put her on a motorbike and left her near the Namatala River, she said. A Christian on a motorcycle driving by, Nicholas Ndodoli, rescued her and was taken to hospital for treatment. This is what some Christians are facing when they leave other faiths and come to Christ. You know, ideally, I mean, those who don't know much, you say that, oh, but we serve the same God. If we serve the same God, then why the hatred? You see, so these are some things that should let people understand that it's not as you are told sometimes. I mean, the reality is different when the factors are not the same. But, you know, believers have to rise in prayer extensively. Yeah, because, I mean, for those on my broadcast list, yeah, I mean, I sent you one message from a friend. He's outside the country and he's a dreamer. I'll call him a dreamer. The Lord gives him things in dreams. Whilst he was in Ghana, I knew him all this while. Yeah, and so when he sent me that, I said it with my broadcast list. That was, I think, last week or last 2 weeks, something. And today too, I shared another one from a pastor in Accra, a prophet in Accra. You know, and these are all warnings to the church in Ghana. And we need to be serious about these things and pray for the country. The call to prayer is very important. I'll be back after this song. Chris Tomlin, Holy Forever.
Down in worship, The defendant was caught with the stolen goods in his hands.
Well, he probably needed them. Not guilty. Next.
I confess, Your Honor, I killed my boss.
Well, we all make mistakes. Not guilty. Next.
Many people think God will overlook their sin because he's good.
Not guilty. Next.
What's with this judge? He's letting everybody go.
Oh, he's just a very loving man.
Yeah, I did it. So?
Not guilty. Next.
But what about the victims? This is wrong.
Well, the judge is just a very good, forgiving person.
If he doesn't convict people, then he's saying it's okay to break the law. That makes him evil.
The thing some people hope will save them on Judgment Day is the very thing that will condemn them. God's goodness. But God has provided a way to escape eternal punishment. Jesus died to pay the penalty of our sin. How will you face judgment? With or without Jesus? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back to So You Want to Go to Heaven, Frank.
Thanks, Roger.
If you get this final question right, you secure your place in heaven. If you get it wrong, well, we don't want to go there.
That's right.
Okay, to get to heaven, you must A, be really good, B, never do anything bad, C, go to church every Sunday, or D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
Boy, I'd like to use one of my helplines. I'd like to use my 7525.
Okay, let's take away three of the answers, leaving D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
That can't be right. I'd like to poll the game show host.
Very well, Frank. The answer is D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
I'm going to have to go with A, be really good.
That's not even on the board.
But there has to be something more than just faith. That's my final answer.
I'm sorry, but the answer was D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
Bummer.
The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back to Spirits FM in Kumasi. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. You're listening to Issues of Life, and you can listen to previous editions on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group as well. You can get the previous editions, and tonight's edition, will also be uploaded there on the website and in the Telegram group. So last week I started talking about the issue for prayer, the need for us to be praying. But there's one thing which I want to draw attention to before I talk about other things, is that one prayer we should be praying seriously now as believers is for the gift of discernment of spirits, for discernment, to be able to discern. No, the reason why I believe this is one very important thing to have now is we are in a season where deception is, you know, we've treated deception for about a number of weeks, and it's so important that discernment will make a lot of difference. Without it, it's something else, because we are in a certain dangerous season spiritually. So we need to be well equipped as believers. We need to be well equipped. You know, on the surface, yes, there are things which on the surface is obvious. There's no need to argue about it. It's just obvious. But it will amaze you that the same thing which on the surface is so obvious that there should be no need to argue about it, you still have believers who have no idea and can't understand, and you realize lack of discernment is the only problem in this case. Lack of knowledge and a lack of discernment. But you see, if you have discernment, because it's a spiritual thing, the Holy Spirit then will give you that understanding of whatever it is. But you know, we need it primarily because we are in a season where you can be misled by leaders, spiritual leaders and physical leaders, secular leaders, both ways. But without discernment, you can be misled. But with discernment, you can see the lines, the blaring lines that makes it difficult sometimes for ordinary people. You'll be able to know that, no, this is wrong, this is right. Let me go to the left. Let me not go to the right. Let me go to the left, or let me go to right. You see, the Spirit then can communicate things to you more effectively. And we need it. We need it. You know, because let me read briefly. You know, the Word of God also gives us discernment, where we have the Hebrews 4:12. Where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. And but then we also have in 1 Corinthians 11:29, for he that eateth, the discernment with is so the discernment, the discerning of spirits, 1 Corinthians 12:10 rather. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And gifts, you can pray for them. Very, you see, most believers these days are not interested in spiritual gifts, spiritual things. So it's like, I mean, we don't care. But at least it's time we start paying attention to some things. And we need discernment or discerning of spirits, because the spirit of deception is in the world. The world is really at another stage now spiritually, and those who understand spiritual things will understand that the world is not the same. Things have changed. It's amazing that sometimes you hear unbelievers make wild statements. Actually, the way the world is going there, things are not the same. Even unbelievers, without the Holy Spirit, without discernment, they are just looking at the facial aspect of things, what they see in the news, what they hear, what they feel, and all that. And they can even conclude that things, the world has changed. Things, something is not right spiritually. Even unbelievers can say this. And yet you have believers who are supposed to have been the ones more advanced in spiritual knowledge, in understanding spiritual things, lacking the basic fundamental. They just lack it. They just can't see anything wrong with the world. They think as it was yesterday, so it is today, and so shall it be tomorrow. So it's like business as usual. No need to adjust, no need to correct, no need to accelerate, or no nothing. Just don't, let's keep going, eat, drink, sleep, play, normal. But the season is not the same. The season is not the same. So that's why we need the discernment. Discerning of spirits, you need the discernment, so that you can know that something is wrong. Something is ahead. You see, when you can pick the signals, then you are more serious when it comes to praying for yourself, your family, or whatever, praying for the nation. You see the urgency and the importance. Because something is happening which it baffles me and it amazes me. Years in previous elections, 92, 96, and then 2000, 2004, 2008. By this time, in August, prayers have started seriously towards the elections. People are gathering in Accra. People are meeting at Independence Square. People are meeting, in Kumasi. People are meeting at the school parks and praying for the nation, There are online sessions and all. Interestingly, I can say it, and those who are spiritually alert and spiritually discerning and spiritually matured can understand this, that this election is the most spiritual election we've ever had. We are going to have, is the most spiritual than all previous elections in this country. So, in previous elections, that Christians were praying ahead of time, months ahead of time, way before August, prayers were being made, fastings and prayers all night and all that. And fast forward to now, that we are ahead, we are getting towards the most spiritual election in this nation. Christians are fast asleep. Churches are not, of course, not all Christians, not all churches, but largely the church is asleep. Largely the church is asleep. It is worrying. If you are not worried about it, some of us are really worried. I was having a call with a friend just before I started the show this evening, and it's worrying. I was in Accra this whole week. I just came this afternoon, and because of the program, I didn't want to miss this evening. I'm at home talking with my sister. We were discussing, and my sister is so worried. It's like, so what at all? It's like, you see, you know, this is why I say people, we have to pray for discernment, because those who understand spiritual things are worried and concerned about the state of the church relative to the times we are in, the church's posture, the leadership of some churches, the posture of pastors and all. I mean, it's very worrying. Very worrying. So the need and the call for prayer for the nation is something which, you know, when I sent the message this evening for the prophet's message, I sent it to those on my broadcast list and those in the Telegram. I sent it, you can see it there. Someone replied that this is like a critical alert and warning to the church. And indeed, it's so. It is very important we rise and start praying. We start praying for the state, for the nation, for our leaders. We start praying because, you see, the spiritual darkness that is overshadowing this nation is something. I mean, you can't say so much, but it's not as, you know, it's not all that seems like. It looks on the surface, it may seem like all is well, but all is not well in the spiritual realm. And that is why we should arise and start praying. Praying as churches, corporate prayer at homes, groups of friends can organize themselves and start praying and all that. But there should be prayer. We should be praying for this nation. We should be praying. If we did so for previous elections, why are we silent in this one, which is even more important than the previous elections? Ask yourself. I mean, we prayed, I mean, Christians, of course, maybe not all, but there was a lot of prayer in previous elections. How come this one? It's as if, I mean, the church, we don't care about it. Wow. This one, rather, God help the church. Oh, you know, God, I mean, whatever blindfolds are on people's eyes, spiritual blindfolds, that is causing people not to see what is really unfolding. God should please have mercy and remove the blindfolds. And these are all prayers we should be praying. That God should intervene. God should intervene, because clearly there needs to be an intervention. But you see, there cannot be intervention without we being in the rightful position. Where, you see, that's why. So let me get into this verse and start with it, where it says that 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. The question is, are we the people of God? Yes. Which are called by my name? Are we called by his name? Yes. Shall humble themselves? Are we humble? Well, that's where the question comes. And pray. Are we praying? Another question. And seek my face. Are we seeking his face? Another question. And turn from their wicked ways. Are we turning from our wicked ways? Another question. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we need to go through this. This verse gives a prescription. Praying for the nation. This verse gives a prescription, steps, guidelines, principles, which would necessitate God responding and hearing. It's like these are the protocols. If you qualify, you meet the protocols, then, I mean, this is his word. I mean, and God will not lie about it. It's clearly stated in his word. So if you do A, B, C, D, he says, then, that means if you qualify, you do the first part. You know, so if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then there's a semicolon. Then will I hear from heaven. So if we do all the first part, his only option is to hear from heaven and forgive our sins as a nation and heal the land. But you see, this instruction of prayer for the nation, who is going to pray? It's only believers who have to pray. Because there should be repentance on behalf of the state, the nation, the leaders. We have to repent for the sins of the nation. You see, and these are all important things the church should be doing. We should be asking for forgiveness. I mean, the sins of Ghana is something else. It's huge. But doesn't mean because of that, God will not hear our prayers, we shouldn't pray and all that. We should go to him in prayer. And you see, this is where intercession is coming, is intercession. So we are taking on the responsibility to stand in the gap for the nation. So in repenting of sins, it's not necessarily sins you have committed, but sins of the land, sins of the leaders, sins of the others. It's part of intercession. Because, you see, if we are waiting for, if we say, oh, we want to go by this verse, that the whole nation should come and repent of their sins, it will never happen. It will never happen, because who is going to organize that mass prayer meeting and mass repentance and mass confession of sins before we pray for God to hear us? Then in that case, then there's no nation that you can have God hearing their prayers, because you never have 100% forgiveness of sins for everybody, like confessing their sins, repenting in the nation. No. But then some will have to stand in the gap and take up that mantle, that role, that duty as watchmen, spiritual watchmen, watchwomen, whatever, and intercede for the nation. So in repenting of sins, it's not our sins as individuals only, but the sins of the land, the bloodshed in the land, the destruction, the carelessness, all the sins, whatever the Spirit leads us when we are praying, we repent of it, confess to God, God, have mercy on the land. Have mercy for these things. People are killing children, children are getting missing because, you know, political season, all that, we know what you do with these things, and all is happening. So, you see, these are sins which we have to repent of as a nation. But it's you and I we have to stand in the gap on behalf of the nation and do these things and pray. And God will hear us. You see, I mean, this verse is very assuring because he's giving the prescription. If you do this, 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 that, then I, God, will hear and heal the land. You know, so if we meet the conditions that he has set, he will also do his part. So we now have to stand up and start doing what we need to do as believers. Because God will not intervene and do things in the land, in the nation, without recourse to his people in the land. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors in the land. So if we shut up and don't do anything, then he's limited. So it is our duty as a church, as believers. I mean, church, I mean the Universal Church in Ghana. I mean, it's our duty. But you and I know that you also not get the whole body of Christ to be interested in these spiritual things. So as many as are interested, they have to rise up and do the needful. We won't get the whole body of Christ to be praying for the country. No. You won't get everybody to be interested in spiritual things. No. So as few or whichever number will be interested in spiritual things such as these are the ones who have to be serious and committed to it and start praying and doing what has to be done. And I believe as we do these things, others are doing, I know others are seriously praying for this nation, but more people should be doing these things as well. More people should be doing, because see, the system, the spiritual system is such that the more the better. Of course, one person can, but there are levels of intercession which demands more people. Oh yes, there are. So you realize that the season requires that we rise up from our slumber. The church is asleep. For that one, if you are not aware, I'm telling you, the church in Ghana is heavily and deeply asleep. A lot of church leaders have been compromised. Money compromised, for whatever reasons compromised. So the church itself, if we say we are looking up to the body of Christ, like the leadership, the church, to lead in these things, it may not happen. I can assure you. If we are to depend on leaders of denominations and churches, some of these things we talk about here, we are talking about here, may not happen because there's so much compromise in the body of Christ spiritually. So it's like people are spiritually asleep. Yes, they are leaders, but they are spiritually asleep. I mean, never think that a leader cannot be asleep spiritually. Oh, yeah, because if you compromise, you get compromised, then the devil gets the upper hand in some instances. And we are looking at one of such instances unfolding in this land. We are seeing it. This is not something like a fiction. We are seeing it unfolding. If only you understand the season we are in and you understand spiritual things, you can understand what I'm talking about. So as many as are interested in these things should start doing their homework and start putting themselves in place, in line, to do this serious, important thing. Now let me get into the second verse and then I'll be ending with that one. 1 Timothy 2:1-2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life in godliness and in reverence. Now, if we want to live a quiet and a peaceable life as believers in any land, then it falls on us. We are mandated to pray. You see, this verse is one verse that assures us and tells us that we are powerful nation controllers, believers. But you see, we've not acted on this power that we have. So we've allowed things to take shape by itself, and the devil has controlled and manipulated things over the years. Had believers been serious about prayer, as we've been doing before elections, if we were to continue after every election and continue praying and praying and praying for our leaders as we should be doing, this country would have been a different country by now. So you see, the state of this nation today, blame the church, blame the Christians, blame the believers, because we should have used our spiritual power and control and authority to pray and change things. But we pray towards elections. After the elections, results are declared. Okay, then we go back to sleep. I remember one pastor said once, hey, I mean, in his church, he was praying for the nation. He said, when you looked at the faces of the people, Kai, this prayer, it's like there's no interest in praying for the leaders. As for leaders, when you mention his prayer, then it's like, that one there, God have mercy. So, essentially, when you looked at the faces of the members, praying for the nation, he lost interest in it, because there was no desire. You could see that people are not interested. Let's pray for other things. I mean, praying for this nation, No. We didn't come to church to come and pray for the nation. We are here to pray for our things, travel and money and blessings. Praying for the nation. Ghana, Papa, dear. You know, people see all sort of. Is it so? We've made this mistake over the years. And it's like a cascading effect, like worsening over the years, and we are where we are today. But if we are to find the blame, or people to blame for the spiritual state of the nation, blame the church, blame the leaders, blame the members. We blame ourselves. We are the cause of the state of this nation today. Because had we done what we should have done, let me read it again, perhaps so that you can really see the importance of this verse. Therefore, 1 Timothy 2:1-2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. A quiet and a peaceable life in godliness and reverence. So to live a quiet and a peaceable life in a country, we have a role to play. So this is why the exhortation to pray for all men, praying for our leaders, political leaders. You see, dear Christian listening to me, let's get one thing clear. As a believer, you cannot fulfill spiritual duties like this if you think about political parties. I mean, let's get that one clear. We should go beyond the physicals as Christians. You see, we should leave some things for others. I mean, we should think above. You see, so this is the reason why this country is where we are, because we are always thinking, if you say this, hey, you are here. If you say this, yeah, you are there. And this, you are here, you are there, you are here. We've brought it into the church. So because of that, we've not even been praying. So a pastor raises, let's pray for the nation. Ah, this pastor, or this side. If he prays that, no, this pastor is, you see, so we've this divided mentality has affected our prayers in the church. And that's why we stop praying after elections. So if I'm in A and it's B that is in power, then why should I pray for B? It's not my... So, but you see, as believers, this assignment and this call to prayer is a mandate. It's a command. And we are not supposed to be picking and choosing, we like this, so we'll pray for him. We don't like this, so we'll not pray for him. No. It's our duty to pray for all leaders, irrespective of whether we are in whatever party or whatever. That's not a... We should live above these things. So we shouldn't be thinking about these things in praying for the nation. We should move above the physicals. You see, if we these things are still drawing us back, then we are carnal as believers. But that is wrong. That shouldn't be the case. We are standing as God representatives, and if we are to intercede and we are praying for the nation, why should we be concerned about, I'm not in this, so I won't pray for that. No. So our seriousness, the more if we are serious about spiritual things, then automatically we cannot be glued to some physical things. We'll have to drop off some physical things and be more spiritual. So it is only those who are spiritual and serious spiritually who understand the importance and the need to do these things. Because these are spiritual exercises. So a carnal person cannot see the importance of it. A carnal person will criticize. A carnal person will have reasons why he cannot pray for the nation. He cannot pray for the leaders. He cannot pray for this and that and that. It is carnality. But the spiritually alert, matured, serious ones will see the importance of praying for the nation, praying for our leaders. Irrespective, A or B, we need to pray for them. If we want to live a quiet and a peaceable life, then we have to do what we have to do. Then God will do the rest. And that is the importance of the need to see prayer as a serious thing that we should start now onwards. We have to start. Well, when are we going to start praying? This friend of mine, as we were chatting before the program, as we were saying, he said, even the mass prayers, a lot of it goes nowhere. So it's, we don't even need many people. So those who would not pray, they shouldn't pray. The serious ones should pray. And I believe the listeners of this program, those listening to me, we have a lot of serious believers who are listening this evening. And I'm encouraged by the fact that, yes, the serious ones are going to pray. And already, I'm getting some messages from listeners. And it's important. So we have to pray. And we are going to pray. Okay. So for those who are asking the prayer, the messages I sent to the group, my broadcast list, I'll forward to you after the program. And it's important. We see the importance of this call to prayer. It's a bit, it's there are some things you can't share on radio. So, that's why I'm silent about that one. We'll just, for those who are on my list, yes, I sent it to them. Those in the Telegram group too, I shared it there, so they have access to it and all. But it will give you, after you watch it, the Telegram group, I think I have to post the earlier one to there. But after you read this message and you watch the message and all that, whatever it is, you understand why I'm saying the things I'm saying this evening, or why I've said the things I've said this evening. And I believe we should be encouraged to pray. We should be encouraged to pray. We shouldn't look up to some people to start it before we join. No. If fine, groups come up and all that, join. As you are led, join. But we shouldn't wait. That you are waiting till your church will start some prayer meeting for the nation before you start praying. It might not happen. So if you say your church doesn't organize any serious prayer for the nation, doesn't mean you are not going to pray for the nation. But the Bible says you should pray for the nation. If you want to live a quiet and a peaceable life, it's a spiritual principle. So let's obey the word of God. That mandates us, that instructs us, that gives us the motivation to pray for our leaders if we want to benefit. You see, it's, the word of God is very interesting because, you see, God gives you the guidelines and he leaves it to your conscience. He leaves it to your own decision, your choice. Whether you believe it or not, he leaves it to you. Whether you do it or not, he leaves it to you. Whether you obey or not, he leaves. You see, that's how God operates. He will not force us to pray by force. He will not force us. But he is asking that we should do it. His word has clearly stated that we should do it. So as believers, let us do what is needful. And I believe as we keep going on, we'll be talking about it as and when it's important and necessary. But I'll be using more of the Telegram and then the WhatsApp communications for these things. I mean, we'll be having prayer points and all that. But these things will be purely on the WhatsApp and Telegram groups. So that's how we are going to go about it. And I believe God would guide us and lead us as we get into these things. And I believe we have to pray for our families. Last week I talked about it, but I'm saying it again. Let's pray for our families. Let's intercede for our families. I spoke with one teacher this evening in the secondary school, and you know, this issue of gay thing, lesbianism and gay in the schools is serious. It's very serious. Let's pray for our children. You see, these are spiritual things. So we've discussed it. I've discussed it on this program. Remember when I had last year, I had a SU team joining me. And for those who remember some of the things they shared, it's very serious. This is so. Things are happening in the schools. Things are happening in the schools. So we need to pray for our children. We just cannot take things lightly on the surface. We need to pray. See, the issue of intercession, prayer, all these things, family line, intercession, prayer, the nation, intercession, prayer, let's pray for, and then let's also pray for our church leaders. If you are in a church, you know a pastor, and you can see that now the pastor is not like he used to be. The fire has been quenched. I know it's like that zeal and the power, prayer, is not interested in these prayer things again. Pray for them. Pray, intercede for them. Because you see, what is happening in the spiritual realm is very, very complicated. And a lot is happening. A lot is happening. And a lot of prayer needs to go up for. You know, we need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for our pastors because, as I said, a lot have been compromised. Some have been, it's like the devil, they've allowed the devil to have an advantage, take an advantage over them and have an advantage. And for whatever reason, you see, once you start dining with the devil, you know, it becomes difficult to say some things. So once you are in his camp, you start dining with the devil, then that means you are trapped. But they need prayer. Prayer can bring them out of whichever traps, whichever blindfolds. And let's pray for the body of Christ, fellow Christians who are in deception, that the blindfolds on their eyes will be removed, the spiritual blindfolds, I mean. So, you see, you have believers who can't see whatever. When you say some things to them, they think you are mad. Because spiritually, they can't see what you are seeing and what you are describing. So they think you are crazy. But it's a blindfold, a spiritual blindfold and a spiritual deafness. So they can't hear things that make spiritual sense to them. Like ideally, a Christian should have picked the signal. As soon as you start saying something, A, B, C, they should have picked the signal and say, yeah, Charlie, it's true. But those who are spiritually blindfolded and spiritually deaf now, they can't see
any sense in the things you are telling them, and they can't hear whatever you are saying as well. There's no spiritual, they can't pick any spiritual signal, because it's like the antennas have been broken. Like, you know, radio, those times radios have antennas, that pick the signals. When the antenna is broken, the signal cannot be picked well. That's what has happened to some believers now. The spiritual antennas are broken, so they can't pick spiritual signals. And it's very, very important we intercede for such and pray for such. And I believe God himself is going to guide and direct us. So I believe you've been blessed this evening. Number of messages, I'll respond to them when I get home. So good night and thank you for listening. This is Eben. Program is Issues of Life and Spirit 88.3 FM. You can get the information, the recorded ones, on spiritissues.info and the Telegram group as well. So good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Great content.